Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be seated.
Well, I hope that you all had a great Christmas season. Haven't seen you for a little bit. Good to see you again. And by that, when I say a great Christmas season, that all of your Christmas gatherings felt like Christmas. Do you know what I mean? See, all of us have certain Christmas traditions and expectations that, if experienced, give us warm and wonderful feelings about Christmas. And we say, wow, I just had a great Christmas. And when they're missing, can leave us disappointed or feeling empty. That just didn't feel like Christmas. Maybe, for example, you didn't put up the big Christmas tree this year because you decided to travel. Well, Christmas just kind of felt a little off. Or maybe you weren't able to get together with family this year, so you felt a little lonely. Or maybe you were sick and you felt very miserable. See, any number of things can impact our feelings about Christmas. Now, for me, I had two very fun and yet very different Christmases this year. Faith and I enjoyed spending Christmas with our youngest son, Nate, and his girlfriend, Libby. They came our direction. It's always fun from those southern people come north, as you know. So it was all the pieces that we really had wanted. Faith put up this great tree. It's like a work of art. It was kind of like the last hurrah, you could say. There's snow, because we expect, you know, snow. It's Christmas, right? And even Nate and Libby built a snowman in the backyard. I think they were going back to their childhood roots. We attended Christmas Eve service. Christmas morning, I don't know about you guys, but we like to sit around the Christmas tree and take time opening presents. It took us 3 hours, something like that. It wasn't that many gifts, just 3 hours. And then while having our traditional coffee bread. And then, of course, watching some of our favorite Christmas movies. And that kind of made it all feel like Christmas. And then we drove to the airport to say goodbye to that part of the family, hopped on a plane to Phoenix to say hello to the other part of our family. And it was wonderful celebrating a belated Christmas with our son Aaron and his wife and family. And yet I have to admit that certain parts of it just didn't quite feel like Christmas. It certainly didn't look like Christmas in Arizona. They had no snow, and I'm not sure how many people in Arizona were really dreaming of a white Christmas. I don't think so. So playing with grandkids outside in shirt sleeves definitely didn't feel like Christmas. And yet, in spite of my feelings about an Arizona Christmas, it was just as much Christmas in Arizona as it was in Wilmer, as it was in I Falls. You see, sometimes life can be that way. There can be a real disconnect between the facts and our feelings. And I think that's especially true when it comes to our relationship with God. Sometimes I can feel the presence of God up close and personal, and other times, where did God go? I just haven't sensed him for a while. So how about you? I mean, do you ever find yourself watching the news and wondering, is God really active in our world? See, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, does it? And if we're honest, I think we all feel that disconnect from God at times. We just don't want to say anything about it because we think maybe we're the only ones feeling that way. Well, I got news for you today. You're not. You're not alone. If we are honest, we all ask why questions. And so that's why, for the next 3 weeks, our hot topic series for January will be a series of sermons entitled, Why? Why didn't God answer my prayer? Why would God love me? And today we're going to deal with the question, why don't I always feel God? And so to help us get in the right frame of mind, this morning I'm going to kind of ask for a little response here, a little give and take. Now for that means you have to kind of be awake, so I just want to make sure you're good to go. How many of you would say at some point in your life you have honestly felt the presence of God? Okay. Wow, that's looking good. How about today when we were worshiping? Anybody? Okay, there's some out there. Now, for those of you who raised your hands, you have felt the presence of God. I want to ask you a simple question. How do you know that you felt the presence of God? How do you know that you felt the presence of God? You might say, well, I just know. Or I felt overwhelmed and I cried. Or I had a tingly feeling, goosebumps. Or some of you might say, I had a warm sensation. Well, the reality is that the presence of God can give us all those kinds of feelings. It's true. In the presence of God, people often cry. But then they often cry cutting onions. You might say, well, the presence of God can give you goosebumps. Well, so can sitting close to your girlfriend or boyfriend or maybe seeing your grandchild for the first time. Well, the presence of God can make you feel warm all over. That's very true. But you can also get that with hot flashes. So how do you know if you really have experienced the presence of God or not? Now remember, our why question for this morning is, why don't I always feel God's presence? And in a few moments, we're going to look at the scriptures and we'll see that God is always present. But first, I want us to explore some biblical reasons as to why we may not be experiencing God's presence more. So why don't you pull out your outline and let's take a look at that. Reasons that prevent God's presence in our lives. The first one being, maybe you're stuck on the pizzazz. Maybe you're stuck on the pizzazz. Maybe you're thinking that God only shows up with the miraculous, the supernatural, the stupendous things of life. The big stuff. You know, one day, some people were following Jesus, and they followed him all the way to the other side of the lake, that's the Sea of Galilee, just because they had experienced the miracle of the loaves and fish. They loved this Jesus. Their heart tingled when they saw the miracle, and their stomachs tingled when they got the food. I mean, what could be better than that, right? It's win-win. So Jesus did incredible things. He impressed the crowds, and they were excited about the pizzazz of following Jesus. But Jesus said the most important thing was to believe in him as God's Son. Life wasn't about the pizzazz. It was about faith. The faith that would lead them to experiencing God's presence. In John 6, it says, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? You will notice they're still stuck on the pizzazz. We want another miracle, and then another miracle. Now, let me just say up front, God does miracles. He does work the supernatural. Nothing is too difficult for him, and you may have experienced or are experiencing him that way, and I think that's awesome. I think it's wonderful. Jesus performed a lot of miracles. But it was Jesus who said, don't focus on the miracles. focus on me. It's not about the hoopla. It's not about the pizzazz. It's about simple faith in a powerful and a loving God who will act as He sees fit. You see, God can speak in the earthquake. But most often, I think He reveals Himself to us in a still, small voice. God will do what God wants to do. Sometimes it's sensational, and at other times it's just very, very sweet. So I would say, ask God for miracles. Trust God to intervene in your life, by all means. But don't get sidetracked looking for the pizzazz of life. God is present, with or without the sensational. There's something else that sometimes can prevent us from feeling God's presence. That is, maybe your heart is hardened. Maybe your heart is hardened. From Matthew 13, Jesus was quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He said, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Well, how does that happen? Well, it may help to think of it this way. It's like with water. You know, think about it. Water is a pretty amazing substance. If we put it by the fire, it'll become warm. With enough heat, you can have hot coffee and hot chocolate. You can take a warm shower and wash your hands. But this same remarkable substance, when you take it away from the heat, it cools off. In fact, if you were to put it outside last night and you stepped outside today to get that water, it wouldn't be water anymore, would it? It'd be ice. A substance so hard that it hurts when it hits you. See, if we're not careful, our heart can be like that. In the presence of God and His people, you're soft and usable. You're able to share warmth and God's love with others. But separated from God, we become frigid and brittle and hard. Maybe your heart hardened because of what someone did to you or said to you. Or maybe you didn't get the answer for that prayer that you expected. Whatever the reason, and there can be a lot of reasons, you become a block of ice. And after a while, ice makes us all numb, and we don't feel anything. There's another reason why maybe we're not feeling the presence of God. Maybe you haven't been obedient. Maybe you haven't been obedient. God showed you something that He wanted you to do, but you really haven't done it yet. He made it clear that you are to forgive somebody. He's challenging you maybe to put Him first in your finances and by tithing. Or He wants you to reach out to your unsaved coworker or classmate. Or God wants to meet with you now that January's here and there's a new year. He's kind of impressing upon you, let's just spend some time together every day and have that quiet time. But you haven't done it yet. You've heard it, but you haven't done it. Look at John 14, 21, the words of Jesus. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him." And do what? I will show myself to him. I will show myself to him. It's a key biblical principle. Obedience precedes revelation. Obedience precedes revelation. He who obeys, Jesus reveals himself to. Whenever you obey Jesus, he loves to reveal himself to you. Now, the flip side of this is also true. If you keep walking in disobedience, you're going to miss out on the presence of Jesus. The more you obey by listening to the quiet voice of God, the more that you're going to be aware of God's presence in your life. Now, I'm not saying it has to be anything big. You know, something happened to me just the other day. I was at the nursing home where I do some part-time chaplaincy work, and I walked into the apartments, into the dining room there. I do a Bible study there once a week. We just kind of sit around the table, maybe six people, something like that. And as I walked in there, I noticed something. Nobody was there. Maybe it's after the first of the year. It wasn't on the calendar yet. I thought I'd send out announcements, but nope. So I walked there, and I'm standing by the table, and I'm kind of thinking, what do I do now? I mean, I've scheduled out this time, right? I've got an hour here. Do I go knock on doors? Try to track people down? Hey, you forgot about Bible study. Do I go back to my office? I can't say that at that point I just stopped and was really spiritual and prayed about it. God, what should I do? You know, I can't say that. But I have to admit, I had this impression that maybe, just maybe, I should hang around a little bit. And so I just kind of stood there and I started taking in the scenario around me and some of the different people. And a man came in from outside, and I knew him. He was the husband of one of our care center people. And I just called out his name, said hi, and he walked over to me. And we just started to talk. And we talked for about half an hour. And in that time of talking, we got to know each other better. But he opened up about stuff. He opened up about pretty personal stuff that I had no clue what was going on. And I was able to listen to him, and I was able to affirm him in some of the steps that he was taking to address those areas of struggle in his life that were both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And when we were done, he thanked me profusely for taking the time to be with him. It meant a lot to him. And as I walked away from that encounter, I knew I had done what God wanted me to do. I mean, it was not a big deal, but I just knew that I had done what God wanted me to do. I planned and prepared for a Bible study. God had other plans. So what about you? You're in a local church today. Did you know that Jesus loves the local church? Did you know he died for the local church? That's what we're going to be remembering today as we take communion. See, if you're a Christ follower, you are a part of the body of Christ. And you've got something to contribute. Jesus said the greatest is the one who serves. So maybe at some point, I don't know, God put it on your heart to serve in kids ministry like Awana. And you said, nah, I'm too busy. That's not my deal. So what part of the presence of God are you missing for not obeying? Or maybe you felt impressed to serve in some other area. See, every member can serve using their God-given gifts and abilities, and we're all supposed to be doing that. Maybe you're sensing like, God, I feel like you're drawing me to that. But you ended up making excuses. So what part of God's presence are you missing because you haven't been obedient to what he showed you to do? Now, maybe it was an impression. But maybe some of the impressions God gives us, we just kind of shrug off as opposed to check out. I'm not saying they're all what God is saying to you, but isn't it worth checking it out to see if it is? What if God prompts your heart today and for some reason you feel like, you know, I'm supposed to reach out to the person next to me, or I'm supposed to give something over and above, or I'm supposed to go up to this person and pray for them? You have a chance to experience God. There's another reason that Maybe we're not sensing God's presence in our life. Maybe you've built a wall of sin. Isaiah 59. Listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you, and he's not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call, but there's a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Now you may ask, how do you build a wall of sin? Well, anytime you live with unconfessed sin, your sin is separating you from God. It breaks your intimacy with God, your fellowship with God. How does this play out in everyday life? Well, let's say you tell just a little white lie, kind of bend the truth. Not a big lie, just a little white lie. And you have a sin block that now has come between you and God. And say you have a little bit of envy, maybe a little jealousy, maybe a little bit of lust, maybe you feel a little greed, maybe you've got some unforgiveness or some bitterness toward another person. Maybe for you, you've lost your temper. And before long, that sin starts to mount up. One little sin on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, and one day, you've built a wall separating you from God one little sin at a time. Are you even in a relationship with God? Yes. You're in a relationship with God, but that fellowship isn't there. The barrier's in between. Can be like my relationship with my wife, Faith. You see, if I do something I shouldn't be doing, if I sin against her, if I say something that's just harsh or whatever it may be, and you can ask, well, are you still married? Well, of course we're still married. But that intimacy has been broken. There's a wall separating us. There's something's come between us. And for those of you who are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Well, what do I need to do? Well, I need to confess my sin. I need to apologize. I need to admit that I was wrong in order to restore that relationship, that intimacy that we have. We're still married, but I need to restore that relationship. And so maybe in your relationship with God, you've built a wall of sin, and your sin is separating you. And part of how you know that is you're not experiencing the real presence of God, the love of God, the joy, the peace, all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit. So don't let the truth of the power of that illustration pass you by. Why don't I always feel the presence of God? Maybe for you, it's that sin that's blocking the intimacy. So what do you do about that? Well, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I mean, we know of extreme examples. King David in the Bible, he fell, he sinned. There's this huge wall of separation between him and God. This man after God's own heart, right? There's this separation that's come in there. And David said, do not cast me from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And as we confess our sins, God promises to break down the wall. So we're talking about this question, why don't I always feel the presence of God? Maybe you have to have the pizzazz, the amazing, the outstanding. Maybe your heart's grown hard. Maybe you haven't been obedient. Maybe you've built a wall of sin, one little sin at a time. So right now, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to deal with anything that is preventing us from experiencing the presence of God in our lives. Let's just take a moment right now of silent prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you so you can confess it to Him. Let's pray. Amen. Now, these are some of the reasons that are preventing us from feeling God's presence in our lives. But let's just talk about the promises that guarantee God's promise, God's presence. Read this together with me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. See, God doesn't play hide and seek. He's not trying to play coy. He's not toying with you. God is a God of revelation. God loves to reveal himself to his children. God deeply desires for you to know and glorify and worship him. He wants us to experience his presence. That's why Jesus came to earth, to reveal God to us in the flesh. That's what we just talked about at Christmas, didn't we? Emmanuel, God with us. And who did Jesus hang out with? Well, people like you and me. Sinners and losers and liars and thieves and hypocrites and prostitutes and drunks. And he loves them all. And he loves you. And he's got grace and the power to transform your life. And he loves to reveal himself to those who seek him. And then look at this promise by Jesus in Matthew 18:20. Read this with me. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Notice what it says. Where two or three. Now, God wants us to have a personal relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. That is very important. That's foundational. We know that. But sometimes we emphasize the personal, and we forget about the corporate, the communal relationship that Jesus also desires. Jesus said that there's something profound and powerful about Christ followers gathering together. Something happens when two or three join hands and pray to God together. That's the power of the small group. Where two or three come together in my name. That's the power of corporate worship, where two or three come together in my name. So would you say that in this place today, there's at least two or three who are gathered in Jesus' name? Would you say that? What does that mean? He's with us. You mean like here? He's present? Right here, in this room, in our lives? Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? And yet, I would say there could be many people who maybe leave worship today from this church or churches in our community, and they would say, well, I just didn't feel the presence of Jesus today. Well, why is that? I think it's just like radio waves. The truth is there are radio waves all over this place, all over this room. You just don't know it. Why? Because you're not tuned in. It's a good country western song, isn't it? Okay. Now, that song is playing, and there's a lot of other songs that are playing, and we are oblivious, right? Because we're not tuned in. The radio waves are going everywhere. So why don't you always feel the presence of God? Maybe it's not because of somebody else. Maybe it's because you're not tuned in to him. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. You notice that? The world at large cannot receive him, cannot hear him because it isn't looking for him, it doesn't recognize him, but you do. because he lives with you now and later will be in you. This very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside the believer. So it's not about whether you feel him or not. His presence is real. Like I said at the beginning of this message, it didn't matter if I felt like it was Christmas in Minnesota and I didn't feel it was Christmas in Arizona. The fact was it was still Christmas everywhere, right? The fact is there are radio waves all around us, but we just may not be tuned in. The fact is if you seek Jesus, you'll find him. The fact is wherever two or three gather, Jesus is there. Jesus is here. And I have to wonder if we really believe that. If we really believe that. That's a bold statement, I know that, but it's true. Think about it. If we really believe Jesus was here in person, there are those of us who would be on our faces before him, worshiping the God of the universe. If we really believed that he was here in person, there are those of us who would be broken in humble repentance, tears streaming up from our faces, saying, "Oh God, thank you for forgiving me." There are those whose marriages are falling apart. At this moment in the presence of God, you'd grab your spouse and you'd say, "I will love you as Christ loved the church," and your marriage would be restored. There are those of you who are sick in body, and the presence of God would heal you instantly because he's here. There are those of you who are sick in mind and heart, and you would turn to God and you would be restored. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. It's not dependent on our feelings. It's a fact that we accept by faith, and when we accept that by faith, that's when the feelings follow. Bow with me in prayer, won't you? Dear Lord, we just pray that you would reveal your presence to us as your children this morning. We know we have not always been tuned into you. We know we have doubted your word at times. We have acted as if you were not present. We have held grudges and been unforgiving. We have been jealous and petty. We have been disobedient and built walls separating ourselves from you and others. And right now, we ask you to please forgive us. We humble ourselves before you and ask that you would reveal your presence to your children. Heal us, forgive us, restore us. Meet us at our point of need. Meet with us at your table. Meet with us where we are and remind us what you have done for us. We worship you and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The truth is, we need to be reminded, don't we? Often. Be reminded of God. You'd think we wouldn't forget, but I can forget a lot of things. I don't know about you. Even important things. So we come together on a regular basis to the Lord's table so that we don't forget the most important thing, God's grace through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus met together with his disciples. And he was going to give them a life lesson. So he took the bread, and basically he said, "That's not just bread. That's my body, which is given for you. Take and eat." And in the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of all your sins." I'm going to ask the servers to come forward at this time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. that you love us so much. Oh, there we can be so thoughtless. We can be sinful. We can be hurtful. We can do things that we have no business doing. And then, all because of you and your death on the cross for us, we confess our sins. You forgive us. You cleanse us one more time. You make us clean. And we ask you to do that today and to fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can sense your presence. We can be filled up to all the fullness of God. All the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And it's in your name we pray this. Amen.